May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. There's a place I've taught from this number of times over the years. One of the things I love about Scripture, I've said this before, it's like a hologram. You can look at it and just turn it a little bit and you see something totally different or unique or extra. And you may have talked about it or read it, or God may have spoken to you 100 times. This is the supernatural words that God spoke. And this is Psalm 73, and it's a psalm of Asaph. And what Asaph is dealing with is he watches ungodly people prosper, and their life seem to go well. And he gets bitter. His heart gets embittered because they don't deserve it. And yet he's really been faithful to follow the Lord. And he didn't understand why they're being so blessed. They're mocking God. And he's been following God, and he seems to be struggling. And finally, in the Lord's grace, God's grace sometimes feels like a rebuke. God draws him in and shows him the end of those people and all the stuff they've accumulated. And he realizes all those things are just temporary, and his heart's just broken because he also understands that to follow God brings prizes and treasures that last forever. And that they were the ones in peril, not him. This is verse 21 of Psalm 73. When my heart was embittered, I was pierced within. Then I was senseless and ignorant like a beast before you, Lord. You do understand that. A bitter heart. You can't trust a thing that comes out of their mouth. Because you can't trust one thing that's going on the side of their head. They're always senseless and ignorant, and they act like animals in the spiritual realm because their embittered heart clouds everything. Nevertheless, I'm continually with thee. And he's talking about, Lord, I've had this bitter heart, and I've been like an ignorant, wild animal. But even in that, you've never abandoned me. God's building something in him that the presence of the Lord is the most important treasure a human being could ever have. You have taken hold of my right hand. With your counsel, you'll guide me, and afterwards you'll receive me to glory. It's always going to end well for believers. Then these verses that are so powerful, they've been so transforming in my life. Whom have I in heaven but you? And beside you or with you, I desire nothing on earth. And I've shared this before, even in the last year, that he's saying, if you weren't in heaven, if your presence weren't there, I wouldn't even want to go there. But here's the neat thing, besides you, and I have you, with you, even on earth, you're the number one thing I desire. And every other desire, because he's been desiring what the world had, every other desire that I don't get is irrelevant. Because besides you, I really desire nothing on the earth, because you're enough. Your presence is enough to satisfy a heart. Whom have I in heaven but you? And with you, I desire nothing on earth. He says, my heart and my flesh may fail. There's going to be times, oh God, when my flesh is going to fail. There are going to be times when my heart fails. I don't know if you've ever been through anything like that before. You ever been through a place? The word fail here is the Hebrew word finished. We've gone to a place where you've been so hurt and gotten so upset. It just didn't seem like your heart could go one more step. That you just couldn't, you're not sure you could take one more day. One more bit of bad news. And he says, my heart and my flesh may fail, but you, Lord, your presence is the strength or the rock of my heart, and you're my portion forever. He says, in the end, Lord, if I've got you, I've got everything. If I have your presence, I have everything. For behold, those who are far from you will perish. Lord, you have silenced those who are unfaithful to you. But as for me, the nearness of God is my good. And I have made the Lord God my refuge, that I may tell of all thy works. Paul said, whom have I in heaven but you? And with you I desire nothing on earth. My heart and my flesh may fail, but God is the rock, the strength of my heart. And he is my portion forever. And then he finishes it by saying, for the nearness of God is my good. I love that word. He says, your presence makes life good. I may not have some things others don't have. You know, I don't, may not have as much money or as big a house or a status. I may not have a reputation. I could have lost that. I may not have in ministry a big enough church or enough opportunities to preach or all those kind of things. My ministry may not be very active. He said, but your presence makes life good. And that word means a number of things. This Hebrew word, good, is the one that's used the most. But the second way it's used the most is the word better. And this could be translated, the nearness of God is my better. And what he's saying is that when you go through a place in your life in this fallen world where your heart and your flesh does fail, when it feels like you can't just go one more step, remember that the prize that you have, your portion, is his presence. Seek his presence. Cultivate his presence. He says, because your presence makes everything better. You see, if the thing most present to you is what you're going through, if the thing that's most present to you is what's happening to other people or with other people or about other people, how many of us get snared into that? His heart became embittered because he was concerned about other people and their behavior. There's no joy found in that. Your life is never better about that. Your life isn't good based on what other people do or don't do. How often do we get frustrated because they don't do it the way we think they should do it? Or how often do we get embittered because of the way they treated us or neglected us or didn't pay us attention or actually hurt us and attacked us? Well, you see, if you're bent towards all those things, then your life is never going to be better and it's never going to be really good. They're not your portion. His presence is your portion. And so when you find yourself in a place where it seems like your heart and your flesh is failing, then get back experientially into his presence. Remember, he's your portion. Life is better there. It'll be better there. He's your rock. Life is good there. In his presence is fullness of joy. And at his right hand there are pleasures forevermore. One of the things I have the privilege of doing, sometimes it's a slight test, is stewarding a lot of ministers in different places all over the world, actually. That's a privilege that I'm grateful for. In whatever time on this earth I get to do that kind of thing. But the ones I have the most respect for are the ones who've learned this very important thing, that he is their portion, not the size of their ministry, not how many people get healed, not how many folks they get to preach to, not how popular they are to the people they minister to, but his presence is their portion, and his presence is their great prize, and his presence is what they pursue more than anything else. And they understand, oh yeah, one of the consequences is that heavens drop at the presence of the Lord. All the other stuff they long for come when all those other things aren't the things you're bent towards. We were created for his presence. Life will never be good unless that's your priority. Can't be this, that, or the other. Can't be ministry. His presence, his presence, his presence. Get it in you, get it in you, get it in you. Because one of the things God will do, he'll keep jerking things out from under you. Because he knows how vulnerable you've become, and it causes your heart to be bitter and down and all those things and discouraged until you discover that it's his presence, that nothing and no one can touch that. Someone may be able to take everything away from you. Wouldn't it be a scary thing if everything you've built on, worked for, you were depending on, was taken away from you? But the one thing the enemy can't touch, another person can't touch, is his presence. And what Asaph finally figured out as he was bent towards all these people in the world who had so much, that he had the greatest treasure of all the whole time. And only that treasure makes your life better, makes your life good. And I've discovered this. We go through pain. I'm discovering this. We go through different disappointments. People do things to us. But whenever my strength and my flesh and my heart fail, It's because I've gotten bent somewhere. And I've forgotten that the greatest treasure of all is His presence. And if I'll abide there, it'll get better and life will be good. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.